Listen again to the words of the collect, or opening prayer of this Mass, which we offered only minutes ago. O God, who through the grace of adoption chose us to be children of light, grant, we pray, that we may not be wrapped in the darkness of error, but always be seen to stand in the bright light of truth. As is often the case with our Mass collects, this little prayer is densely packed with essential truths which we can easily miss on first hearing. So let's look more closely at six different dimensions of being a Christian mentioned in this short prayer. First, God chose us. Second, he chose us through the grace of adoption in holy baptism. Third, he chose us to be children of light. Fourth, he chose us not to be wrapped in the darkness of error. Fifth, he chose us to stand in the bright light of truth. Sixth and last, God chose us to be seen always in the light as public witnesses to the truth he reveals in Christ Jesus. In the night before he died, the Lord Jesus said to his apostles, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." This mystery of divine election is at the heart of all Christian faith and life. And in an age that prizes radical autonomy and self-determination above all else, being created, called, and sent by God is especially difficult to understand and accept. The most fundamental truth about human life is that we are not the source of our own being. We do not will ourselves into existence. We do not decide in what time, in what place, or to which parents we will be born. We do not choose our own names, and we do not determine our own personal gifts or burdens. We do not plan the world events that will shape our lives. And we do not decide, either before or after birth, whether we are male or female, which for all time are the two and only two possible sexes for every human person. There is a givenness to our existence that is beyond both our choosing and our changing. And this is not an injustice or a form of tyranny. Moreover, as it is in the order of nature, so it is also in the order of grace. We do not choose God, he chooses us. And that is not in any way a diminution of our personal integrity or interior freedom, because we are always at liberty to say yes or no to the offer made by Christ to follow him in the way of the cross and to live as his disciples. Now, the collect today says that God chose us through the grace of adoption, and that gift is given to us in the sacrament of holy baptism. In the second lesson today from chapter 6 of his letter to the Romans, St. Paul describes one of the effects of our baptism. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." The font of baptism, you see, must be a tomb before it can become a womb. The child of Adam, the child of wrath, dies in baptism so that the child of God may be born again by water and the Holy Spirit in the grace of adoption, and then live in the freedom of the children of God by grace through faith, hope, and love. God the Son and eternal Word is divine by nature, while we are human by nature. But the Word became flesh and took our human nature to himself, precisely so that he could give us a share in his divine nature by what our collect today calls the grace of adoption. And this was part of God's eternal plan before the creation of the universe, as St. Paul explained in his letter to the Ephesians, where he wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved." So, by divine and eternal election, we have been made God's adopted children through the grace of holy baptism, so that we may be, as the Collect says, children of light. Christ, who is true God, is also light from light, and he alone is the true light of the world. But all who have been made a new creation in Christ have also become children of light and have been sent by Christ as his witnesses. The Virgin Mother sings in her Magnificat that her soul magnifies the Lord. But how can any creature magnify or increase the infinite glory of God? Well, in the same way that the moon reflects the light of the sun and thus spreads its radiance, just so the children of light magnify the light of Christ by their manner of life, but only, as the Collect insists, if they are not wrapped in the darkness of error. Error, of course, is possible only where there is truth. And in this case, both truth and error refer to our acceptance or refusal of all that God has revealed for the salvation of the human race in the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we receive the gospel with the obedience of faith, then we are conformed to the truth. But when we reject the gospel in whole or in part, then we make ourselves the measure of the word of God and are thus wrapped in error about the most important things in human life: our origin, our nature, our purpose, and our destiny. So, we are all called by our baptism not to be wrapped in error, but to stand, as the Collect puts it, in the bright light of truth. And we stand in that light by living the truth of the gospel with every thought, word, and deed. That is how we will be seen by others as standing in the light, something that will make us a sign of contradiction to others, and even put us at odds with our own family and friends, a possibility acknowledged by the Savior in today's gospel. Here we must note that it is not possible to be a part-time Christian, to be a private Christian, or to be a solitary Christian. No, to be a Christian is to be a public witness to the saving truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that his gospel is the full truth about both God and man, the truth through which we find in the church the freedom of the children of God, not through radical autonomy, but through the obedience of faith. In other words, while we do have the capacity to turn away from the grace of our baptism and to live as though Jesus Christ is not Lord, we find our authentic freedom and happiness, our true dignity and destiny, only when we cooperate with God's grace and live the life of the creation and live the life of the new creation by forsaking everything that is contrary to the gospel. And so, Paul continues in today's second lesson. If we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. For we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And here we find the chief challenge to Christianity in our time and in our own hearts. Those who regard radical autonomy as the prerequisite for human maturity believe that they must become a law unto themselves to be free. And so they refuse to be called to anything by anyone, and they reject all attempts to distinguish truth from error as a tyrannical form of intellectual and emotional violence. But the refusal to acknowledge the truth known by right reason and divine revelation, finally makes it impossible to tell vice from virtue. When that happens, then both moral reasoning and metaphysical certainty about good and evil come to an end, and we are then left with nothing but the will to power, which is precisely what we find in the increasingly frantic cultural chaos in which we now live. And if you need empirical confirmation of this claim, then just spend a few minutes at the center of any of our large cities or on the campus of one of our elite universities. In this cynical and egocentric approach to human life, the God and religion of the Bible are considered the enemies of human freedom, the gospel is denounced as hate speech, and the church is seen simply as an engine of oppression. And once this false view of life has taken deep root in someone's heart and mind, about the only way to bear witness to Christ for them is with a self-emptying love even more radical than their self-absorption and lawlessness. Friends, being a Christian is hard work, and it requires the most serious commitment to die to self and live for God in Christ Jesus. As the Savior himself explains in the gospel today, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. But here's the good news. The hardest work of conversion has already been accomplished for us by the Lord Jesus Christ through his cross and resurrection. And the grace of his paschal mystery is then offered to us as a free and unmerited gift. All that we have to do is accept his gift, and then cooperate with the grace of our baptism to live even now the life of the new creation. And so we pray with the church today and always. O God, who through the grace of adoption chose us to be children of light, grant, we pray, that we may not be wrapped in the darkness of error, but always be seen to stand in the bright light of truth. Amen.